Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Sister Snooky Rico. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And the conclusion of the message will have some important information for you. Please join her now as she begins her message.
Lord God and Father, I just thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise for just the ability to be here tonight. Lord, you knew my heart, Lord. I didn't even want to take any medication today because I wanted to have my mind right, Lord God. But Lord, I pray, Father, that even as I had to take medication, I pray that you would cleanse my body, that you would cleanse my mind, Lord God, and that you would give me your heart and your mind, Lord. Father, that the words that would come out, Lord, may it build up your ladies, Lord God, of what gracious things you have done in our lives, Lord God, what you have done for us, Lord. And Lord, now what we should do for you, Lord God, not by works, Lord, but just a dying to self, Lord God, so that we can be a reflection of you, Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you fix us where we need to be fixed, that you heal us where we need to be healed, that you comfort us where we need to be comforted, that we would enter into your perfect rest, Lord, where freedom is. And Lord, so we ask this in Jesus' almighty name. Amen. Amen. So again, we are in Galatians 2. And as we go through the word, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we're going to go back and touch on a few things. So did everybody, first of all, get one of these? Did everybody get one? Okay. So now, Paul is, then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and you can follow through with your books, and also Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach amongst the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which was in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And we're going to get into that. To whom we did not yield submission for even an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism to no man. But for those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when I saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was committed to Peter. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that grace had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was eager to do. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And we're going to get into that. And when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. For if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And this is another key verse here. So you should highlight verse 20. For though I have died to the law that I might live to God, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So now we're going to kind of go through it. You know, what does this all mean? I mean, I know it's pretty heavy in certain places, but we again see that Paul goes back to Jerusalem. This is the second time that he's gone back, and this time he waited 14 years to go back. He takes Barnabas and Titus. He's being led by the Spirit to communicate to the apostles. He did not ask them what to preach, but rather what he was preaching, indicating that he had received the gospel message from the Lord himself by revelation. We went through that last time. He was actually given this word by revelation through Jesus Christ himself. Paul wanted the church leaders to agree that circumcision was not necessary for the Christian believers because false teachers had crept into the church, and this would stop them from, and he wanted them to stop them from forcing circumcision on Gentile believers, because it was getting to that point where they were wanting to put that law on the Gentile believers, that they too had to follow the law, the Jewish law. Titus, who was a Greek Gentile, was with Paul, and as a believer was not required to submit to the Jewish law by the elders, and he wasn't submitted. He did not have to submit to that. The elders agreed to it. So he was proof that the other apostles agreed with Paul. Yet there were Judaizers, false brethren, who had crept into the church teaching that faith alone in Christ was not sufficient enough. They maintained that one must also keep the Jewish law in order to be saved. They wanted the Gentiles in bondage to this law. They had not only the commandments, but they also had 100 other commandments on top of the commandments. So it really always blows me away when people want to add to the simplicity of the gospel. You know, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior and what he's done for us on the cross, somehow it's a free gift. It's by God's grace that we're saved. It's a free gift. But a lot of us had a problem with that, even understanding or comprehending that. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and people would share Jesus with me, I would always say, no, I got to get right. And I'm not right. I gotta stop doing my thing. I got to stop doing my partying. I got to stop being a shopaholic. You know, I got to be holy in order to accept Christ in my life. And that was going to happen when I was gray and old. So, you know, but it's just this, it's this world mindset that we have. Like, you know, we have to be right before we can come to Christ. And that is totally not true. That's not the truth of what the word says. Jesus says he takes us as we are. In fact, we can't perfect in the flesh what God wants to do in the spirit. Jesus has to start it. It has to start in our heart first. We can't fix ourselves. And even if we try, it's only going to last for a little while because it's of the flesh. So this is what these Judaizers were trying to do. They were trying to add to salvation in some way. And, you know, that's a very serious offense, because the word of God says that we're not to add to or to take away from the gospel. Because there's curses that come with that. And yet they were trying to put the people in bondage. And I really see that happening in the world today in different religiosity. That's why, you know, I hate religion. I just hate religion. I just want Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Because, you know, there was a time when I belonged to a church, a very religious church, and there was things I had to do. And I always felt guilty. It didn't matter. I always had this guilt on me, like I was never right, even if I went to church, you know, even if I said all my prayers, even if I made all my sacraments, I still had guilt, because that is what religion does. Religion will just continuously make you feel the guilt of your sin, because only Jesus Christ can take that from us. It's a spiritual thing that when we give our heart to the Lord, it's a, it's It's something that the Lord comes in and he takes our sin, and now he gives us a new heart and he gives us a new spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and now we have the Holy Spirit within us to give us the discernment of what is truth and what is false. So always be careful when anybody comes to you and says, oh no, it's not just accepting Christ in your life. You have to do this. You have to do this. All that's a work. All that is a work. When Romans 8 says that we are saved by grace and grace alone, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Because you know what? That's what a work does. It causes us, you know what a work does? It causes us to make us feel better about our guilt. And all of a sudden, we want to tell everybody about what we did, you know? Because, you know, that helps to puff us up, make us feel better. That's the old way. That's the old mindset. But now that we're in Christ, we're all free from that. We are. Jesus has set us free to love him in spirit and in truth. And it's our heart that he's desiring, not these works, not these things that people say we have to do. Works will come. Good works will follow. That's just an outpouring of what God is. When the Lord comes into your heart, you want to serve people. Because you want to serve Jesus. You want to help people. But it's an outflow because of you're so grateful for what Jesus has done for you, that you want to bless others. And that happens. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's working in you, that works will come naturally. But it's not a work that is going to add to our salvation. We might receive some crowns for that, but it's not going to add to our salvation. And so, you know, I take that. That was such a big revelation for me. When I first came to the Lord, that there was nothing I had to do, just simple faith in Christ Jesus. It freed me up. I think I slept probably the best I ever slept when I first accepted Christ in my life. Slept a whole night long, you know, without any guilt of sin, but just a perfect, just being at rest with Christ and knowing that all is well. In John 19:30b, Jesus said, "It is finished." When he was on the cross, it said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And he said, he died on the cross for our salvation. He didn't say, okay, well, now that I've died on the cross, you have to go do this, you have to do that, you have to go do this. No, he said, "It is finished." And again, in Luke 23:40, we see again simple faith. Let's go ahead and read that. Luke 23:40. And, you know, the Lord delights that we would understand these things, that we would understand how gracious he is. And in Luke 23:40, and this is when the two thieves were on the cross and Jesus was on the other. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." On the cross. There's nothing that thief could do. Simple belief. There was nothing that thief could do. And that's why I always say it's never too late. It's never too late. Even on someone's dying deathbed, if they're breathing their last, even if they're in a coma, they could still hear you. You know, even at that moment, if you pray the prayer with them, it doesn't have to be a you know, like a type of sinner's prayer. It could just be a prayer from your heart. That they would accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. At the moment they take their last breath, they will be in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as a believer. So I can testify that there have been times in our family that has happened. You know, in their last breaths, they're saying yes. But praise God, they're going to have eternity. We're going to see them for eternity, even if it was just but a moment here on earth that they said yes. So never give up on anybody. So I just love that. I love that. It's a free gift. And the Galatians again, and we're going to read in next time that we come together in chapter 3, this is how, this is what Paul was talking about in Galatians 3:1. He's talking to the Galatians. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" So there again, that we cannot perfect our flesh. In our own self, we cannot. In the process of sanctification, as we accept Christ in our life, He's the one that starts peeling off the things out of our life. When we accept Christ in our life and we come to Him in humility, in true surrender, you know, He's going to fix us because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit convicting us of sin and of righteousness. And let me tell you, as a believer, you know, that Holy Spirit, He's not going to let go of us. And if we sin and we continue sinning, we're going to feel the conviction of that. And sooner or later, we come to that place. We've all come to that place. I know a lot of your testimonies. You all know my testimony. The Lord peels away those things that need to be taken away from our lives, whether it's debauchery, you know, alcoholism, drugs, whatever bondage that you may be in. The Lord, in His perfect time, starts revealing it to you. And it's like a mirror. He's showing you that it's time. And He gives us the supernatural power to get rid of it. He gives us the ability through the power of His resurrection. You know, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have working in us each and every day. So we can walk in the power of God, knowing that we have the ability to overcome whatever flesh sin that we're fighting against. We have seen many deliverances, many miracles. Many of you can testify of what God has delivered you from. But even now, you know, we still may struggle with things of the flesh. We still struggle with things of the flesh because as long as we're here in this world, the flesh is wanting to do one thing and the spirit man is staying to do another. It's a constant battle. But as we walk in the Spirit, we have the ability to overcome. We have the ability to overcome through self-control, the fruit of the Spirit that God gives us, and we can have victory over it. And Paul did not contend with these Judaizers for not even 1 hour. Paul knew freedom from the law and that this was an essential truth of the gospel. He wanted the truth to continue and to be understood and followed by the Galatian Christians. We also see the call for him to preach to the Gentiles that was given to him, just as Peter was to preach to the Jews. And again, the Judaizers were a threat, and it also caused even Barnabas was getting caught up in some of the things there with Peter. And there was a kind of a little discourse there was as Paul went to Peter and confronted him, you know, and he would go and sit with the Gentile Christians and eat meal with them. But as soon as the Jews came in, he'd get up and run away and kind of go hide because he didn't want to be rebuked or chastised against the Judaizers because it was a law. One of those laws, I'm telling you, they had over 100 and something. One of those laws was that they could not eat with a Gentile. They couldn't hold hands or even like dip their food. Like if a Jewish man dipped a food or if a Gentile dipped a food in something that was a Jewish man, it was defiled. And even here, you know, how many times have we defiled that kitchen? And they've had to go and we've defiled that kitchen. I don't know how many times. That's one that they still hold on to some of those laws. And you think about them, and you think about how you know it makes you know it's just that that's the way they saw. They saw Gentiles as next to nothing. That's how they saw the Gentiles. So there was indifference there, and Paul clearly saw it, and he stood up to Peter. And rebuked him and called him out on it, you know, that he wasn't straightforward with the truth of the gospel because that was showing favoritism, which God is not a man of, God is not, a, does not, is not a, does show no favorites to any man.
If you're listening right now on the internet, And maybe you just were surfing the net. You came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And you're hearing this message right now. And you may not even know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.